This morning, we're going to be looking at what does this mean? I had the choice of those two passages, the one in Philippians, which is very straightforward and lovely, or this one in Matthew chapter 22, which is a bit unusual, a bit difficult. I certainly found it was. So I'd like to unpack this morning both what does this passage mean, the parable of the wedding banquet, but also how we can go about tackling difficult parts of the Bible. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God of love, that you delight in each of us, that we are precious in your name. And we ask that you might open up our hearts to hear what you are saying through your word this morning, and not just to hear and go away and forget, but to be changed by you more into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, to glorify you in this world. So speak, we pray, and help us to receive and live. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I find this passage somewhat difficult to understand. There's a king's wedding banquet, someone not wearing the right clothes. Bit strange. And if I'm honest, I don't like bits of it. I find it hard when someone addresses somebody as friend, and then because they're not wearing the right clothes, throws them out into the darkness. That seems harsh. Is God really like that? And yet God calls us to base our lives on what the Bible says. As Jesus explains in the story of the wise man builds his house upon the rock. And Jesus is there talking about his words, the Bible. So what do we do if we don't understand part of the Bible, or if frankly, we don't think we agree with it? I want to share with you three principles that can apply to any passage so that you can, to help you understand it. And they're the principles that I used to try and get my head around this passage. Let's move that up a little bit. So those three principles, which I'll go through in turn, are context, culture, and Christ. So firstly, context. The principle of looking at something within its surroundings. And for those of you on the telephone, I'll just explain a little bit. There's a picture of some cheese with some wine, and it looks like that's going to be a lovely meal. And then on the other side of the cartoon, there's a picture of cheese, and it's on a manhole cover, and it's basically there to draw out rats. The context in which that cheese is really matters. And the same is true of things in the Bible. So we need to read the verses in the context of the chapter, within the context that it's in. I find it helpful to summarize what's going on. So we've got a king's wedding banquet. We've got people who are invited, who refuse to come and mistreat the messengers. The invite goes out wider, and someone who's not wearing the right clothes is thrown out. But there are some key clues at the beginning and the end of the passage. Frame, if you like a picture. The kingdom of heaven is what's said at the beginning, and many are invited, but few are chosen, is what's said at the end. Those help us to understand. So when it says the kingdom of heaven is like, it's an analogy, it's a metaphor, no, simile. And we need to be careful not to push the interpretation too much. They're intended to make an overall point, rather than trying to find significance in every detail. So that's the verses in the context of the chapter. But then we need to read the chapter in the context of the book, in this case, Matthew. And if we look at the Bible Project, which is available online, excellent resource, we realize that Matthew is divided into five chunks. And this one is part of chapters 21 to 25. Here, Jesus is talking to the chief priests and elders, and he's talking about the end of time. The overall theme is God is revealing himself in Christ, and this results in a separation of people into two groups, those inside and those outside, based on a response to Jesus. So that's the context within which this particular passage happens. And then we need to come up one level more and read the book of Matthew, in the context of the whole of the Bible. So what are the themes of the whole of the Bible? Well, that might seem a bit daunting, but I think there's one verse that summarizes an awful lot of what the Bible is about. And I'd really encourage you, if you don't know it well, to memorize this verse, John 3:16, which explains, "For God so loved the world." So the world was in a mess after the fall, broken relationships with God, with others, with ourselves, and with creation. A mess that we know so well and see every day. But God, motivated by his love, gave Jesus, his one and only Son, that whoever, open to all, believes in him, means active trust in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Foretaste of life in all its fullness now, and then an eternity in the presence of God. So motivated by love, he gives Jesus that we might live through grace. And the picture is another way of seeing that. Jesus right at the center of history, right at the center of the Bible. Okay, so what have we learned from context? We've learned to pick up on those little prompts. Heaven is like, many are invited, but few are chosen. And we've seen that there's a separation into two groups based on a response to Jesus, which is consistent with the overall message of the Bible. So what about the next principle, culture? I wonder when you've encountered different cultures with different ideas. Would you say that it's polite to wear a short dress or shorts in church? Some people may think that's okay, others may not within the UK context. But if you were in Italy or Greece, then that would be rude and you would probably be not allowed to go into a church dressed like that. Is it rude or is it polite to shake someone's hand in greeting? In general, in the UK context, that's a polite thing to do. But I remember when I met Ellie's friend from Saudi Arabia, a female friend of hers, and she would not shake my hand. That would have been entirely inappropriate. And when I went to Northern Kenya and met a lovely man called Thomas, we had a great conversation. And at the end, he spat on my hand. Now, in the UK context, that would be an insult. In the context of the dryness of Northern Kenya, this was a great honor. He was giving me some of his precious water. So we get the idea that there are cultural differences. And we, when we're reading the Bible, are reading into a different culture of the ancient Near East. So we need to be careful that we think about that and not just assume it's like today. So we have a king's wedding banquet, and we kind of get that. We get the idea of a royal wedding that's a big do, that'd be lavish, and a real honor to be invited. But amazingly, some people are really not interested. We get the idea of the countercultural invitation that the king gives up on the normal people to invite, and invites everybody. And it must have been pretty mind-blowing for those people to have come off the streets into a royal wedding. And that's the place we're in. We're not God's chosen people, the Jews, the people who would have been invited. We're ordinary people outside of that. It's amazing grace that we are invited to be with God and enjoy his goodness. So we kind of get those two. The one that's more complicated is this one about the wedding clothes. Someone is thrown out for not wearing the right wedding clothes. This is here where we need a bit more information. And in my NIV, New International Version Study Bible, it says that wedding clothes would have been provided freely by the king. The various people on the streets wouldn't have had royal wedding clothes to use. If you were on the streets or poor, there's no way you'd have the finery. And to not wear the wedding clothes would have been to have insulted the king, to have insulted the host. So we've learned a few things about the culture. Still seems pretty harsh. So from culture, we've learnt we've been generously invited to be with the king, who is God in this case, and to enjoy the good things that come from being with him. We have a choice about whether we say yes or no to that invitation. And it matters whether we wear the clothes the king freely gives us. But what are those clothes? Here we need to turn to the third and final principle. When in doubt about something in the book of life, the Bible, the best thing to do is focus on Jesus. Why? Because he's our clearest understanding of God. He's God in human form, and we can get our heads around that. And we can also see much clearer there than in some of the complexities of the stories before and after him. So how does looking at Jesus help us with this passage? At this stage, I'm still confused by the clothes thing. Clearly, it's really important, but what does it mean? Well, we remember that part about context, that this parable is part of a chunk of Matthew's gospel that talks about people being in or out according to how they respond to God. And Jesus talks about this a lot. He talks of more than anybody else about hell in the Bible. Hell being permanently away from God and all that is good that comes from being with God. And of heaven, being with God forever and all the goodness that that means. Which group we wind up in is not about what we do, although our culture says that all the time, but the Bible doesn't. It's about a living relationship of trust with Jesus. So what do we make of the clothes? When we commit our lives to Jesus, we take on Jesus's clothes of righteousness. So as 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, for God made Jesus, who was the one who did not know sin, to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. So God took our dirty clothes laden with wrong and onto himself on the cross, and he gives us his rightness with God, his clean clothes. So from this, we've learned we need to respond to God's free offer of being right with him, the clothes he provides. We won't get into the new heavens and the new earth any other way. So I've shared three tools that you can use to understand any passage. Looking at the context and the BibleProject.com free resource is brilliant, giving you context and understandings of books and themes in the Bible. We've looked at culture and the importance of being aware of that. And I would suggest study Bibles are excellent, such as the New International Version. And the kind of default one to look at is think about Jesus. What do we learn about who he was and who he is and how we can understand any passage in the light of that? So this passage seems to be about the kingdom of heaven. And many are called, the invitation's open, few are chosen. It's a great, lavish invitation. Sadly, some people turn it down. Many people turn it down. We need to be wearing the right clothes. It's the only way we can get in. And those right clothes are the righteousness, the right with Godness that Jesus offers us freely. But we do need to receive that gift. So finally, some questions for reflection and prayer. How might you apply the principles of context, culture, and Christ to understand part of the Bible that you don't understand or that you struggle with? Would it be helpful for you to use resources that could help you understand and so be changed more by the Book of Life, the Bible, such as thebibleproject.com or Study Bible or Bible Gateway? Have you got hold of how great God's invitation is? It's about life in all its fullness. God is not just one thing amongst a whole series of priorities in life. He's the number one. He's the center of life itself. And have you responded to God's invitation to life with him, loved by him, and serving him as Lord? We are called to make a commitment. We are called to say yes, to put on those clothes of righteousness and be a follower of Jesus Christ, knowing his life.